You know, even if the library is not your jam, I'm going to try to have some activities that you can do to still be a part of the library, even if books aren't your thing. Yeah. Even if the library is not your thing, there's still things that you can do and interact with us there in the library.
Hello, friends, and welcome to season 5 of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. This is a podcast for all librarians, wherever you are in your journey. It is filled with amazing guests, important topics, and engaging conversations that will inspire, engage, and support all of us as Future Ready Librarians. I am your host, Shannon McClintock Miller. I am the district teacher librarian at Van Meter Community School in Van Meter, Iowa, and serve as the Future Ready Librarian spokesperson. I have the pleasure of working within my library and school community and also with others around the country and world through Future Ready Librarian events, conferences, consulting, writing, and more. And I'm very honored to bring these voices and the work of others to our podcast and to all of you. Today, I am so excited to welcome one of my best friends and amazing librarians, Nikki, to our podcast. Not only is it great to see you, but I'm super excited just to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's always good to see you.
Oh, I'm so happy. And Nikki, and she'll talk more about this, but she actually is now in high school library and just doing amazing things this fall. And as she got ready this summer, it was so inspiring to watch all the things that you did. And so I'm really happy that you're on just to talk about that too, because I know that others will love it.
Yeah, it's been a cool journey.
I love it. So let's just start by having you introduce yourself a little bit more by telling us where you live and are where you work at, what your school is, and anything else just about your journey. I find it always interesting. I have these visions of you doing elementary in the centers always. So yeah, give us the scoop.
Sure. Long story short, I started my career in education in 1992, went into my first library in 97, which was elementary for 8 years. Then I was in high school all the way until I moved to Texas in 2017. And so then had that shock from all that time in a high school to then being back in an elementary school again. It was something. Kindergartners are gangster is all I had to say about that. They're scary. And I left the library for about 3 years, still in education, but working for the Region Center, which services and provides professional learning for about 60 school districts around Austin, Texas. And then, you know, I was missing libraries. I went to TLA in, what was it?
In April.
When was it? It was in April. Oh, and I was like, I'm not part of this family anymore. I used to be a part of this librarian family and I'm just not. And it really hurt me. And so, you know, I went back in. I work in a ninth grade center. So we're considered a high school, but it's only ninth grade. Brand new school just opened last year. So all new pretty books. And I was like, oh, pet the books are so pretty and new. And so, yeah, I spent the summer genrefying and moving all the books into genres, and the kids are loving it. You know how genres work.
Yeah.
They can find their books. They check out so much more. It's been a fun journey.
Yeah, your library is beautiful. It's cool. And I love all the things that you've done to get kids excited. And when we were talking about what Nikki wanted to chat about today on the podcast, I love the title that you put out there, reaching students when they can't reach you. And I think of all the things that we see that you do within your library. And so I'm really excited to talk about that today and hear some of the things and just your thought behind that, because you were spot on by saying that our high school kids, you know, they are very busy and they have really demanding schedules. And so something that we all really need to think about working with our high school kids.
Yeah, for sure. And one other thing the librarians in our district do is we're in charge of all the Chromebook stuff for students, which is something a lot of librarians are doing. And you know my soapbox about that, Shannon, is that we've always been the leaders in technology, whether it was an overhead projector, film strip projector, whatever. And just because it's not on wheels strapped to a car that we roll down to a classroom doesn't mean we're not still the leaders of technology. So the Chromebooks can take up a lot of your time, but also it shows you in the school as that leader with technology and ed tech. So I think it's really cool. In my district, we are not actually a member of the school staff. We're, the librarians are actually a member of the district technology staff. And so the admin in the schools where we are not our admin. They don't evaluate us, et cetera. Our evaluation comes from our lead librarian and our district technology leader. So it's a very different configuration than I've ever been in before. So very interesting. I like it. but with the Chromebooks, because I do have all these other obligations, sometimes I'm out in classrooms co-teaching. A lot of times I'm off campus because of district technology demands. Me and the lead librarian are supervising now three student librarians that are doing the practicums. They're working as librarians in our system. And then we're just helping them with their practicum, doing observations, evaluations. So a lot of times we're not there. And again, like you mentioned, students can't always get a pass to come to the library for books. It's 45-minute classes, bam, 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 bam. And with how stretched teachers are with this giant curriculum that they had to shove into this small amount of time, they can't really afford to let kids out of class to go check out books. So I've tried to come up with a couple of things that I thought would be helpful for teachers and for students, and that would be able to still keep the library open 24/7.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing that I often think about, even for our kids, even in, because I work with kids in elementary, middle, and high school. And so I think that, I don't know if it's even in the last like few years, but it's probably been, you know, as we use more technology and as kids need to, you know, their demands even on what they learn and what our teachers are teaching. And so, you know, it's not, remember when I first started, you know, kids would come and they had study hall and they'd hang out, and our kids don't have study hall. Like, they do not have time in between classes, like you said. And so that library that you build online is just as important in the ways that we are supporting them, you know, online, but also within our physical library. And so I'm excited to hear just some of the ideas that you have, just so I can take them back to my school.
Right. And I think, you know, when COVID came around and librarians were in, oh, geez, how do we get the library to the kids when nobody's in the school building? I saw so much creativity and inspiration in our Future Ready Librarians Facebook group and the hashtag there on Twitter. So it was just really inspiring to me to see what librarians were doing and adjusting during that time and really stepping up again and being those ed tech leaders in their school when the teachers were like, oh no, how do I use this learning management system? How do I use this particular ed tech with my students? And so I kind of just see it as a holdover from that of, hey, why not continue those services that were working so well, even now that you're physically back in the library? So, one thing that I really like and is our library management system where you can put holds on books. And so during our library orientations this year, One thing that I did was made sure that students knew where to go and how to put books on hold. And I have had students using that like crazy. I had to check it every day and I'm pulling books off the shelf. And then, you know, I walk to their classroom and give it to them. And I think after I started doing that with a couple of kids and the other kids saw, they were like, oh, wow, it really does work. She does get that we wanted that book and she brings it to us. So we don't have to worry about how am I going to get there to get the book that I want.
That's really great.
Yeah. One of the big things is I want to alleviate the worry that's associated with libraries around books. So one thing I told the kids during library orientation, I was like, how many books can you check out? And they're like, 3, because that's what they could do the year before. And I was like, wrong. And they're like, 2. And I'm like, wrong. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, as many as you can carry and that you promise to bring back. And then they're like, well, when are they due? Well, if you're having anxiety over a due date, can you really enjoy reading a book? And so I was like, they're due when you get done reading them. Mm-hmm. But if they're just sitting in your backpack or they're laying on your bedroom floor, bring them back in so somebody else can read them. I don't want you to be worried about when to bring back a book. I want you to enjoy the book and not have that nagging in your brain of, when do I have to get this back? Oh, I'm going to have it fine. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet they love that.
They do. They all look very shocked. There were some jaws on the floor with that too. So another way besides the holds on books is the personal book shopper service. And I've done this before and it's not my original idea. You know, really what ideas are original? Gnat flying around me. What ideas are original? And if you can remember where you heard it from, that's great. Crystal was my co-librarian in Hoover, Alabama at Hoover High School, and she did it there. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool idea. So I repeated it in my subsequent libraries after that. But basically what I do is I have a Google form that asks the kids a bunch of questions about themselves. What's the last book you read? What was the favorite book you read? Like favorite TV, movies, video games? Who do you follow on social media? What hashtags do you follow? What, you know, what music is playing in your ears? What do you like to do just for fun? What else do I need to know about you? And then I take those books. I take that information and I try to find like 5 to 6 books that I think match what that student likes in their general life. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go back though and check their history to make sure they haven't already checked those books out. And then I take a wrap it up with ribbon. I make them a little name tag with my little Cricut machine and tie it all together. And then they get to come down and take a look at their stack that's been specially picked out for them, and they can check out all the books, one of the books, or none of the books. And if I didn't match them, then that's when I get to talk to them and get to know them a little bit better and find a book that does speak to them. So,
yeah, how many times have you done that this year already?
A lot of times. It's not really my ideal way of doing it one at a time. I really like doing it a whole class at a time, like getting an English teacher. Because then all the students come in, they all have very distinct individual book stacks. They can go and sit and talk to their friends as they look through their book stacks and discuss the books. They can put the books that one didn't really match me onto this one particular table, and other people can walk by that table and go, oh, wait a minute, why wasn't that in my stack? That's my preference. It's a lot of work. And then you also have to remember that you only have so many books in your library. And so we've got somewhere around 900 freshmen at our school. It just wouldn't be possible to get everybody through. So doing it individually is working for now. I might see if there's an English teacher who maybe has like one or two, I don't know, special classes or one or two classes that they want to reward somehow and do it that way. So yeah. I'm thinking about it.
I think that's so neat. We did that when, you know, we were all, when we came back and kids couldn't come to the library. And I think that it's a great way to include all readers. And we have a lot of kids, you know, that we work with every week who need a little extra help. So when you make it extra special in finding a book, it gets them even more excited. So I absolutely love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
How do you get them, like, how do you share things like what's happening in your library? One thing that I'm working on this week is a new newsletter for the year. And I always try to mix it up a little bit. So I can't wait to hear what you're doing around that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do a newsletter and I do have the website, like all librarians have their website. And I just realized, you know, neither one of those were really reaching the students. And I think it was last week we were in our district librarians meeting, and I forget who said it. One of our wonderful librarians there in Hutto ISD said, well, I'm making a Canvas course for the library. And I was like, what? They had to go to Canvas every day for all of their classes. And if I have a Canvas course just sitting right there too, then that's going to be great, because that'll be every day they're reminded that, hey, here's a resource, here's a resource. And so I've made that, and it's actually been really good. I've been able to put in different activities for the kids to be able to interact with. So this week with Banned Book Week, I've been kind of borrowing from the freedom with the hashtag Books Unite Us. And so they've had a daily writing prompt with the hashtag Books Unite Us. And I've been making those in Nearpod and connecting them through Canvas. And those have gotten several responses there. I have some contests that are coming up. I'm doing a Boggle contest weekly up until our book fair in December, and then winners of those will get to get different prizes and things from our book fair. So that's letting them know about things.
I saw that online. I'll go, that's so cool.
And what I was telling the kids is, you know, even if the library is not your jam, I'm going to try to have some activities that you can do to still be a part of the library, even if books aren't your thing. Yeah. Even if the library is not your thing, there's still things that you can do and interact with us there in the library.
Yeah. That they love, you know, like,
right.
Yeah. Finding something for all kids, I think, is mm-hmm. just great. I started a Google Classroom this year for our elementary and our secondary, and the same thing, like, you know, we all have a website. Do kids ever go to it? Probably not. But if they can see that, like, all the time, even my like little first graders, like, they appreciate, you know, just being where they are. Like, just mm-hmm. as you said, as we were talking about the topic, I think it's so important to remember that we just have to be in the places where our kids are at.
Right. And the other lure to get them to go to that Canvas course is because I do Chromebook needs tickets. And so if they have any issues with their Chromebook, they have to go to the Canvas course. Click on that little Chromebook needs Google form ticket and fill that out, because I'm not always in the library. So teachers can't just say, okay, you have a problem with your Chromebook, go to the library. I might not be there. And so in order for me to facilitate and meet their Chromebook needs in the most efficient manner, they fill out the Chromebook ticket. You know, if their Chromebook's not working, a teacher can help them fill out that ticket as well. And then I will go to them, or I will call for them when I am ready or have the resources I need to be able to help them with that particular issue.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
A little
streamlining.
Exactly. Making sure that you also have it, right? What you need on where you're at too, I think is a good thing. 900 freshmen, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah. And so, I could be a librarian that works with teachers and does other things, or I could sit in the library all day long just in case somebody comes in with a Chromebook issue. And we don't want that. We want to have all those library services. So having a streamlined version of that makes sure that student needs are met in a timely manner, I think was really important, especially the way that my role is there in the school.
Well, and as you're just starting too, it's like, you know, that your role will, you know, evolve too into different things. You're getting to know the teachers and your administrators and all of them, not only the kids. And so as you get more embedded within your school, you know, you'll be needed more as well. So this will be good to set up those procedures and all the way that you do things now.
Right.
Way to go, girl. So I'm sure people, if I keep talking about, oh, I saw you do that on social. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online? And if there is anything that you want to share, if you have, I know you used to blog. I don't know if you even blog anymore. So tell us a little bit about where we can find you.
I barely, and it's so terrible. I barely do social media. I'm working on my PhD. I'm in the middle of writing my dissertation. And honestly, when you're working on a PhD, the only writing you're doing is the writing you have to do for your PhD. So I have really not done social media. I've fallen way off on that. When I am Dr. Robertson Griffin, I will get back on that. But I am doing social media for my school library. I consider that to be part of my job duties, even though I had to use my hotspot to do it at work. But I'm going to do it at work because I don't have time when I'm home to do anything but write. But I sent you all of my social media, my personal, as well as the school. But you're going to find the most from my school right now. And so my Twitter is @library_NGC, and it's NGC because we're known as the ninth grade center.
Oh, very cool.
Okay. Yeah.
And all sure these are put on to the notes too.
So yeah. And our school Facebook page is Hutto ISD NGC Library. And then our Instagram is Hippos NGC Library, and it's Hippos because our mascot is the hippos for every single school.
Amazing.
My school, the ninth grade center, will eventually become the second high school. And their mascot will also be a hippo. Every school is a hippo. And the story, I'm not sure I'm telling it correctly, is, I don't know, back in the 1800s or something, when you had the traveling circuses going around, a hippo got loose and blah, whatever. And so now,
that's awesome.
The hippos. Everything's the hippos. But, you know, it's fun. Yeah. There's statues of hippos everywhere in the town. In front of the grocery store, there's a giant hippo. In front of almost every business, there's a hippo. And homes in their front yards, there's hippos. The whole town is, it's just like they are all completely committed to being a part of the school district and everything. It's got that small hometown feel.
Yeah.
Even though we're busting at the seams and becoming, well, we're 6A, but it still has that small hometown feel. Yeah.
Come and visit someday. Sounds fabulous. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for joining me today. I have been looking forward to this all day, my friend.
Me too.
We appreciate what you shared. And don't forget, everyone, that you'll be able to find her information attached to this podcast, along with resources and a certificate of professional development that you can download and fill out to use. As always, thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for this episode of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. And a very special thank you to our sponsors, Follett. You make a difference in our libraries, schools, and within our lives and that of our students every day. We appreciate everything that you do. Please send any request if you would like to be on the show. I would love to talk to you too. You can send them to me at shannonmcclintockmiller@gmail.com or tag me on social at Shannon M. Miller. And I know you will take everything that you learned in today's podcast and put it to use within your practice as a future ready librarian. Until next time, friends, keep finding ways to lead within and from your library.